want you to know, if you need anything, don't be shy, okay? There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
Okay. I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
This is Unladylike. I'm Kristen, and my mom was not a cool mom. Before I get too ahead of myself, though, y'all, this is episode 1 of 2. It's a cool off. That's right. You heard me. It's a cool off between the cool mom and the cool aunt, because you know me. I love pitting women against each other, especially when it comes to reproductive and family matters. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. When I say a cool off, emphasis is on the cool. And the more I say cool, I think the older I also sound. But I'm talking about, what does the cool in the cool mom mean? That is what we are talking about this episode. Then next week, cool means something entirely different when we're talking about the cool aunt, which, yes, I am an aunt, but nope, not a cool one. Along the way, just FYI, the cool girl will make a cameo, but not for too long because we all know she would hate it here. I don't want to feel her judgment. So, and ladies, when you hear cool mom, who comes to mind? Amy Poehler in the original Mean Girls? Busy Phillips in Mean Girls the Musical? Kristen Conger, yes, that's me, in Mean Girls the Seussical? Or how about Sabrina Kohlberg's mom in real life?
My mom was a cool mom.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Sabrina Kohlberg. I am a producer at Good Morning America. I have been for over 15 years. And I am a lover of all things pop culture. And so we're doing this podcast.
This podcast, as in the brand new show, Pop Culture Moms, that Sabrina hosts with Andy Mitchell.
I'm Andy Mitchell. I am a New York Times bestselling author, and I am doing this podcast, Pop Culture Moms, with my best friend of now over 20 years, Sabrina Kohlberg.
And y'all, is it just me or is that best case scenario to be the best friend of the child of a cool mom, right? You can just really primarily reap the benefits of it.
I don't think she was like as cringeworthy as Mrs. George is.
She's not. She's cool.
Yeah, I think she's cool. But she also was a little bit more permissive than my friend's parents. And my friends turned to her for a lot of things. And yeah, she was a cool mom. And I'm not cool. So, you know, I mean, I desperately want to be cool. Like, I want people to think I'm cool, but I'm not a cool mom.
it's easy to slip out of coolness.
Now, ladies, when I hear Sabrina and Andy as moms talk about the cool mom, a cool mom identity, this is where I say, tell me more, please. Fill in these gaps. You know, again, I don't have kids. When I hear cool mom, I think, yes, Regina George's mom, and now obviously Sabrina Kohlberg's mom. But I also think of the one and only real deal capital C cool mom that I met in high school. Y'all, I don't know how I scored this pity invite to her daughter's party basement, but all I know is that cool mom was fine with us ripping cigs inside. Lucky for us. Sabrina and Andy have had cool moms on the brain lately as well, but with, you know, a bit more nuance than this, like, Smirnoff Ice party mom that has burned into my brain.
I'm at cool mom with 6 O's, hashtag aging hotly, hashtag
get out.
Parenthood is pretty isolating sometimes. So we turn to our love of pop culture a lot. And like, if you want to watch a show or a movie, that's a great escape. But that's been our escape our whole lives. And we learned so much about what we thought mothers should be and what we thought mothers shouldn't be from watching these moms as we grew up. And they're really like such an influence over how we've decided to parent as much as any other thing. So we thought it was really fun to kind of explore like, yeah, what did we learn from Cool Moms or Stage Moms or all these mom stereotypes or more nuanced moms in these movies and TV shows that we've adored?
Yeah. And like, how did our idea of what a good mom was when we were, you know, teens and then 20s and then 30s and then now as parents, like how has that shifted with the representation of mothers in media? I think it's just interesting to have a more real sense about what motherhood is. And you can kind of now question like some of the ideas you had about a quote unquote good mother or a quote unquote bad mother. We're going to try to cover them all. We've got a Google spreadsheet.
We want to do like monster-in-law. We want to do.
We've got a lot of.
There's lots of moms to cover.
So the very first episode of Pop Culture Moms is about one of my favorite tropes, the cool mom. Why did y'all kick off with the cool mom?
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's one of our favorite tropes too. And it's something so in pop culture. I mean, there was just the Mean Girls musical, but we're mostly focusing on Amy Poehler, which we saw together. I think we were freshmen in college. We went to the movie theater to see it together.
Yeah.
And it's just such an amazing topic because everyone thinks they want to be a cool mom until like push comes to shove.
Yeah. I think, Sabrina, we've kind of come down that we think that Amy Poehler, like in the original Mean Girls, that was kind of the invention of just labeling that type of parenting, that like ultra permissive parenting, like the cool mom, right? Probably. Yeah. Okay. And that I think it's like I'm marveling that type of parenthood as like a spectacle. I can't even imagine, like now as a mom, I'm like, oh my God, that's unsafe. Like I, if anything, I have to fight my urge to be like a helicopter parent or a lawnmower parent, whatever they say, the snowplow parent who's like trying to clear the way for their kids to have like the best version of life. But this type of mom you see her in movies and TV all the time and just like, why is she this way? Is this a choice or is this like part of who she's become through her own experiences? And it's, I think it's like just endlessly fascinating because we either had moms like this or knew moms like this and you kind of look, how did that work out for their kids?
Sabrina, since you had kind of the cool mom of the friend group, did you also rely on her in the ways that your friends did? Or was it a different kind of relationship?
It was different. So I have a younger sister, and I think she had that experience more. My experience was which I think we've learned all kids actually really crave guidance and rules and stuff. And I was desperate for guidance and rules. So I became like the enforcer.
Yeah. It's the cutest.
Like I would punish myself. When I was in high school, got drunk and I needed her to come pick me up. And I did feel safe calling her to pick me up. But when she picked me up, I said, I'm going to not go out for 2 weeks. And she said, you're not punished. And I said, but no, I should be. I think I should be punished. So yeah, I became my own parent in some ways.
Yeah. We like to call Sabrina the sheriff in a lawless land.
Yeah.
Growing up, that she was just, it's like so cute because you are a law-abiding citizen at your core.
Yes. I was terrified to break a rule.
So Tony didn't have to worry about, your mom didn't have to worry about you, really.
Yeah. That's why I think she got to be cool. Because, like, there was not, you know, I was terrified to break a rule. So she was like, I don't even have to set them. Go with the flow.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Andy, what about you?
I think I've realized my mom is more of like a Lorelai Gilmore in that we had and have an incredibly codependent relationship. And we have historically always had a closeness that's like a sisterly relationship as well as a mother-daughter. But like my mom is, she's not cool in any of the ways, but she always was like a fun person that would talk with me and my friends and had like a closeness with us because she, I don't know, really validated like our experiences as young people. And so I didn't feel that separation of like authority figure and child as much. I think it gave me a lot of confidence in like who I was becoming and have become, you know, because she took me seriously.
But cool to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I joke that my mom, it's a shame that my mom didn't get to have Munchausen by proxy because she wouldn't have wanted to like poison me or deal with that aspect or the failing health. But she always like really took it serious. Anything I said, she would take it seriously, like as a claim. And then maybe she'll investigate, but she would take me to like a specialist. She would, you know, she like.
She would have thrived. Would have given her purpose.
It would have given her. She's like, you know, the second oldest of 9 Irish Catholics. So like caretaking is her entire personality and identity. So she would have given it her all. It would have given her a lot of purpose. She would have loved it.
I was so struck that in your Cool Mom episode, your guest is Alana Eubach, who is the mom of Sydney Sweeney and Maude Apatow's characters in Euphoria. It's a fantastic conversation. And ladylike listeners, go listen. I'm a Euphoria head, and I'd never even like considered her through the framework of cool mom. I think just because the show itself is so dark.
Oh, Cassie, you're driving me nuts.
I'm just pointing out the facts.
Well, I'm pointing out the principle.
What principle?
They don't fuck your best friend's boyfriend principle.
That is what I am trying to tell you, Mom. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. God!
I don't care. I just want to watch my millionaire matchmaker in peace for 1 hour. 1 goddamn hour. Fuck.
I think that the one through line of like all of these mom tropes to back up a bit, is that there are usually good intentions. And so there's an aspect of the cool mom that's not just because they don't want to make rules or out of like laziness or lack of direction. I think that it comes from wanting a bond with your kids or like wanting to establish closeness with your kids. And so it fosters a level of like no hierarchy within the family, which is it becomes problematic, right? In a lot of these cases. But like Sue's, I think you can see that she wants her kids to feel safe coming to her. So allowing for their open and honest expressions of being a teenager is like her way of, I guess, feeling like she has like the access to like what's really going on in their lives. Like, so she can be like them and be friends with them and see kind of and maybe protect them. It's like off, it's a little misguided. And I think she has struggles of her own that might maybe make her this way. But I think there's something to both of the characters where it's like this desire to be closer to your kids and not really knowing how to like perform parenting in like a healthy, structured way.
Yeah, I think so. I think really like the things that separate Sue's and Mrs. George are just like circumstance. Like I think Sue's just got dealt a tougher hand, but they're both kind of doing similar things with their kids. I do think Sue's is doing it because of her tougher circumstances. And she's like, I'm going to keep my eyes on these kids and I'm going to learn everything about them. But they both have these relationships with kids that are problematic, but do lend themselves to closeness. Like, you know, Cassie tells Suze when she needs an abortion, you know, she doesn't go to her friends, you know, and Suze tells them when they're being wrong. So I think there is some sort of closeness, but yeah. There's also a lot of just like absolute permissive parenting, like let's have a party here and let's do whatever the heck we want, which is not great.
I think like you see like the way that the children kind of suffer because they're like, it seems like they don't know kind of what to do. They seem, it can seem kind of conflicted on like how to behave because there's not a strong, clear guide for them.
Sabrina, does Maud Apatow's character resonate with you at all because she's kind of the parent of the household?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I relate to that. And, you know, I think I even say in the episode, my sister is the Cassie of our family, which is not to disparage my sister, but because she definitely doesn't do all the things that Cassie does, but she's the free spirit and she's reaping the benefits of the no rules all of the time. And I, I am the Lexi character through and through.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
In terms of tropes, you know, we've got the cool mom, but there's also the cool girl.
Cool girl. Men always use that, don't they, as their defining compliment. She's a cool girl.
And it made me wonder, is the cool mom a cool girl with kids?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Seb. No, I agree.
I think the cool girl would cringe at the cool mom.
Yeah.
She would be like, oh, no, that's embarrassing. Don't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that the cool mom is more inherently, like, it's not insecure, but it's wanting love from the people that matter most to you, where I think the cool girl would have a level of detachment from her kids. What do you think? I think, you know what I mean? There's something about they're not trying to please as much.
Yeah.
They're so themselves that they can just, I don't know. I mean, that's, it does feel like there should be, to me, like a real line that we could draw between the two of them. But I think that their motivations are very different. What do you think, Kristen?
I think you're right. I think you make a good point about the sort of validation that the cool girl is not invested in, that the cool mom does seem very invested in.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder, like, who the cool girl becomes, though, should she have kids?
I think the daughter of a cool mom can become a cool girl. That kind of trajectory makes a little bit more sense, but I don't see the cool girl. I think that by the time you are the cool girl, it like inside, if we can assume that the cool girl's trying to present an image of herself that is very confident and likable, we're also aware that there's probably an inner world that doesn't feel that way, that might feel less confident, that is like needing to project an image. That's what people want and desire, but we don't know if they're really experiencing it on like a personal satisfaction level. So I'm thinking by the time they become the cool girl, they might be already having walls up that wouldn't allow that kind of closeness with a child, or like that vulnerability that would be required. What do you think?
I don't know what I think about that, but I'm trying to think of examples of moms that I think were probably cool girls and then they became moms. Maybe like Peg Bundy was a cool girl when she was a teenager and then she became a mom.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I get from her. Like, she's not too bothered by anything, really.
I must be making you look pretty bad in front of your friends.
But you're not like other moms. I mean, I knew that the first day of kindergarten when I opened up my lunchbox and found a dollar bill and a roadmap to Burger King.
I packed that lunch myself.
Peg Bundy. I mm-hmm. love Peg Bundy. Like, the Peg Bundy character, if she was the cool girl, is that she was still pursuing her own happiness. And I can say for sure that, like, one thing I've learned from my mom, who's, like, more of, like, a martyr type, like a selfless martyr, is that I would feel such relief and comfort if I felt like my mom was really pursuing her own contentment and satisfaction. Because as a child, it's like a burden to think that your child didn't save any energy for themselves. Like, you know, so I think that you see, like, Peg Bundy was like, she was doing what she liked to do.
Yeah, protecting her peace.
So it's like, sometimes neglect comes with that, but
yeah. I think also, like, Lorelai Gilmore was someone who was a cool girl who became a mom.
Do not eat chips out of a communal bowl. You might as well stick your hand in a toilet.
Nice.
If you're desperate, offer to be the person who replenishes them with new bags and grab a handful out of the new bag and dump the rest in the communal bowl.
Got it.
And keep in mind that getting up on a table and performing a song of any kind will haunt you for the rest of your life. Trust me, been there, done that.
That's interesting. That turns my thoughts on its head. That's good. That's good to know.
But I don't know. I wouldn't call her a cool mom, per se, because she's a little bit more...
She's protective, like, in a...
Protective, you know, like, when Rory drops out of college, she's not having it. Like, so I think she was, like, a cool girl, and then she became a mom.
One thing I think that's really interesting about this whole thing is, like, I should acknowledge that I don't think, probably because of the way that I grew up with a closeness to my mom, I think my instincts in motherhood would, like, lead me to want to just be very close, like, be friends with my kids as well. And I think it's like I have to really actively work to fight against that. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to like me a lot. And I don't think it comes naturally to me to, like, have to, like, lay down the law and accept that, like, they might not understand that me putting this structure or boundary in place is, like, for the benefit of them as they grow. But I really think, like, I think, like, there's part of the cool mom that feels very, like, instinctual maybe to a lot of us. It's loving. It's, you're not saying no all the time. You're allowing.
Well, you're kind of reading my mind because I was going to ask if this cool mom figure in particular points to a real tension between setting boundaries, healthy boundaries for your children, and wanting them to like you at the same time.
That's really tough.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yep.
Because it's hard. I mean, it's very hard because, yeah, you want them to like you, obviously. They live with you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, ran into this morning because my son was putting, I don't know, I'm going to be conservative here, 75 stickers on our couch. And my husband was walking the dog, and my husband came back in, and he said, "Cooper, could you not put stickers on the couch?" And I said, "Oh, it's making him so happy."
I know.
And it's like... You know, I had been watching the stickers get put on the couch for 15 minutes while he was out walking the dog. And I was like, he's happy. I don't want to rock the boat here. I don't want a screaming two-year-old. I just want him to be happy and feel like I'm his friend, letting him put the stickers on. And so, yeah, it comes up a lot.
You have kids, Kristen?
No, but I am an aunt to 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, 10.
10. Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
How many siblings do you have?
I'm the youngest of 5.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was hoping you didn't have, like, one sibling who had 10 kids.
No, I have one very busy sister. Yeah.
No. Exactly. No, but I was just thinking, like, because I was wondering if you had kids, if they were older, because I think, like, right now it's like, we feel that tension of, like, wanting to please our kids and get them to like us on these smaller levels. But I think it only gets harder as they age.
Yeah.
Because I find it's like I can really easily identify with their feelings, which I think becomes challenging and problematic when you want to also enforce a boundary or teach like a better behavior, you know, because if you can always kind of have an angle of empathy, it gets tricky. It makes it tricky. So I think like as they become teenagers is when we're really going to be in it and struggling with our people-pleasing tendencies.
I mean, even just as an aunt, when I tell you like how carefully like I try to think about my 17-year-old nieces, like, okay, do I get her the Stanley Cup? Will she like that? I mean, yeah. Is she like over yes. Stanley? Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
is she judging me?
I was desperately like trying to enforce my will on one of my nieces. I was like, does she want a Lululemon belt bag? And her mom was like, no, she doesn't. And I was like, are you
she
sure?
She probably does.
Like, I think yeah. she might. And she wants me yeah. to buy it yeah. for her.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
She didn't
no,
want it.
No. So we've got a lot of problems, Kristen, as you can see. We're not perfect.
Pop culture-wise, is there a cool dad equivalent here?
I think the dads are kind of cool a lot.
Yeah.
I think, and not to smash the patriarchy, although let's do it. I think there's like dads have more carte blanche to like not. I mean, although I'm saying this, I don't think dads have to be the enforcer all the time. I think in older times they were like, dad's going to hear about this and he would maybe corporal punishment. Maybe it was like, you know, a lot of like strictness and sternness on the dad's part. But I think that it seems to me like dads can kind of get away without being the bad guy a lot. Am I wrong in this? Is that just my sense about how involved and like loving dads are now that they're not?
I think we see a lot in movies, but I can't think of an exact example. But like the dad who is really cheering on his son who's pursuing.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, like that's like the cool dad equivalent. You know, like really like rooting on their kid to have a romantic interest. I think that's the cool dad.
I think that's a great point, Sabrina. And you're so right. It's like kind of a generality that dads don't deal with the emotional repercussions always of permissiveness. Guilt is not something that I think my husband can relate to as much as I can about all the decisions that we make, the micro decisions, the big ones in the day-to-day. And I think, like, if a dad acts permissively or, like, allows for, like, somewhat reckless behavior or whatever for their kids, like, I just don't think that there's the same level of inner drama that they feel or they experience from the outside world. Because it's like we don't expect dads to do it all right. You know what I mean? Like there's a freedom there that I don't think moms experience. And I am generalizing a tremendous amount. So I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about one thing. Okay. You know what, Kristen, I wanted to ask you because I was listening to you not too long ago, your podcast episode where you were talking about Hannah from Girls becoming a mom. And what do you think Hannah's going to end up like as a parent, as a mom?
Oh, I'm so scared, actually.
Like, I mean, your whole episode arc was about, like, women friendship. Like, the strength and bond of women friendship, which is endlessly true. Like, of course. And how Marnie's like, I'll raise this baby with you. And then is like, I don't think I can raise this baby. You know? And I was just thinking, like, what? I think Hannah had some problems with her parents, but her parents were loving.
Yeah.
They were loving people, you know?
I think that motherhood for Hannah is going to open up a new and deeper dimension of her relationship with her mom, because at the end of the show, I believe her parents are getting divorced.
That's right.
And her mom is going to be, Hannah's going to need her mom. She's going to need her mom to help raise Grover.
I know you're distinct. I know that. It's hard.
So I was like, okay, Lena Dunham, of course. Okay.
And I think she'll be a quirky mom. But I think motherhood is how Hannah is going to grow up.
Oh, wow. What? I'm poetic. that you just said that. I think you're right. I actually think you're right.
Such a kind, kind prediction for her.
Well, I am a voice of a generation.
Yeah, that's thank you. Yeah, exactly. And you're hopeful. You are hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to ask, as pop culture moms, how do y'all feel about one of the trendiest tropes out there these days, the cool aunt?
I love them.
Love a cool aunt.
I love a cool aunt. I think everybody needs a cool aunt. And I'm serious. This is the aunt that's going to take you to Planned Parenthood. This is the aunt that's going to hold your secrets that, like, mm-hmm. maybe her sister or brother can't handle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Like, spoil you a little, take you yeah. to see a rated R movie. Like, yeah, that's the yes. fun stuff. And then also, if they're quirky at a holiday, couldn't love it more.
Oh, my God.
You need that comic relief.
Add a splash. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I love a cool aunt. I think yeah. it's so great.
And that's the cliffhanger, Unladies. Cool is going to take on a whole new meaning next week when Los Angeles Times art and design columnist Carolina Miranda considers the cool aunt. Aunt? Do you say aunt? Who says aunt? Show of hands. Thank you so much to Andy Mitchell and Sabrina Kohlberg. Go listen to Pop Culture Moms. Euphoria heads, you got to go listen to Sue's. Alana Eubach. I loved her interview on their Cool Moms episode. Any cool moms or children of cool moms listening? If you've got stories, questions, reflections, corrections, I must stop rhyming now. Send your voice memos or emails to hello@unladylike.co. DMs are open at Unladylike Media on Instagram. On the latest Unladies Room Patron's Choice bonus episode, I do my best to explain the very worst untrue crime case of 2024. Insert Law and Order. Dun dun. If y'all are wondering how the fuck the Alabama Supreme Court is out here making frozen embryos children come along for a truly bizarre, like alternate universe, bizarre Jesus sci-fi court case. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you've heard about that bill that Alabama Republicans are scrambling to pass in order to, quote unquote, save IVF, it's all smoke and unflattering mirrors, y'all. To listen, search Unladylike Media in the Patreon app or go to patreon.com/unladylikemedia to join. Ugh. Didn't know it would make me so heated to think about something kept in a cryogenic freezer. Unladylike is an Unladylike Media production. Executive produced, hosted, written, and edited by me, Kristen Conger. Engineering is by Amita Ganatra. Our music is by Flamingo Shadow, Amit May Cohen, and Sarah Tudson. Until next week, what is the most unladylike thing about each of you?
So I'm not going to say a master carpenter, but I am a carpenter.
All right.
I can fix almost anything in your house if you called me over. Like on a basic level.
Oh, goodness. I have to think of what my most unladylike quality is. I'm not a master woodworker, so it's tough.
Well,
I think my answer would be is that I am the sheriff in a land of outlaws. Like, I have always wanted to be the rule enforcer.
Yes. And Sabrina is the smartest, most competent person in the world. And her daughter came home from school not too long ago and said, like, so-and-so in my class thinks you're stupid. And Sabrina just laughed and she goes, of course I'm not stupid. Like, you know what I mean? And I was like, own it. That's the best.
That was like, I mean,
of course
a
I'm not.
4-year-old could have wrecked me. Like, but a 4-year-old saying I was stupid, I was like, that's they're stupid. True. I don't know.
They're stupid? Yeah, that's just simply.
I'm not stupid.
Hit me.
I won't accept that insult.